Will the House please come to order? And the Chief Clerk please call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby. Barbuto. Berger. Blake. Blickrey. Bonner. Bonner. Brechtel. Brown. Brown. Buchanan. Byrd. Kennedy. Carson. Childers. Cohey. Connolly. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Edmonds. Esquivel. Gilmore. Gingery excused. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan excused. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Illaway. Yagi. Jorgensen. Kimball. Landon. Lockhart. Lubnow. Madden. McKim. McComey. Miller. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Peasley. Pedersen. Peterson. Filk. Excused. Korberg. Roscoe. Simlick. Shepperson. Steward. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. 57 present, 3 excused.
The prayer today is given by Chaplain Dell Hansen, representing Veterans Medical Center of Cheyenne. Chaplain Hansen.
Let us pause. Divine God, as we begin this work week, allow us to spend the necessary time to seek your guidance. Come to us as you have in ancient times, and lead us through the wilderness of confusion, self-interest, deceptive practices, and false gods. Allow our eyes to see the larger vision. Allow our ears to hear the genuine needs of the people. Allow our hearts to be filled with the necessary compassion. Allow our minds to utilize the common sense which you have provided to us. May our spirits be open to the needed changes, the common good, and the best of the guidance you would offer to all of us, so that as we work this day, we may accomplish that which would be in the best interest of our communities, our state, our nation, and ultimately the goals of your heavenly kingdom. Let us remember and give thanks for those who established this great nation, especially this day on the birthday of George Washington. May we remember the source of the wisdom and guidance he sought and utilized to provide such a great foundation for our nation. Lord, we would ask your protection on all those who defend and protect this nation and our state so that this great state and our nation might stand as a witness of the freedoms for worship which you have so provided for us. In
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Will the House please come to order? Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 19, 2010 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Moniz and Representative Barbuto.
The doctor of the day is Dr. David Guida from Cheyenne, and the nurse of the day is Rebecca Rutar from Ivinson Memorial Hospital. Thank you. Chairman Illoway, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, on the desks, on everybody's desk is a flyer about the Cheyenne Symphony, which is Saturday night. There are tickets available. Please feel free to give them a call, but just wanted to remind you, it's a great symphony this Saturday night.
Chairman Berger, you may have privilege of the floor.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. On your desk today, you should have a laptop survey, and I would really appreciate it if you can take a minute during our budget presentation this afternoon to fill it out. At some point, if you would take time to fill out this laptop survey, I'm the chairman of the Legislative and Process Committee, and we've been thinking ahead about what would be the needs of the people in this body as far as laptops and the services that we provide. So this would be helpful. It's just phase one of a couple of other things we'd like to do before the session is over. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to see me. Thank you.
Chairman Anderson, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This morning we have one of the premier FFA groups in the state with us celebrating National FFA Week and American Farmers and Ranchers, the FFA group from Burns, Wyoming. Would you stand and give them a welcome?
Representative Kimball, you may have privilege of the floor.
Mr. Speaker, in the south, or I'm sorry, the west balcony, we have two illustrious guests from Evanston, Wyoming. People don't get over here real often from Evanston, especially in this weather, and they are the co-superintendents of Unit County School District Number 1. If we could give them a round of applause.
Representative Zwanis, sir, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Moving our way around the room, in the south balcony up there, you'll see students from Cheyenne East High School, Shannon Wozniak's class. Representative Milton and I had the privilege of speaking to their class last month, and they came to watch us today. Please make them feel welcome.
Great. Yeah, Representative Stebson, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to first introduce you to our new page for this morning, Finnegan Stubson, who's up front there. And I'd also like to introduce you to his lovely mother and his brother, who are up in the South Gallery here, Susan and Mead. And Mr. Speaker, one word of caution to the body. I remember last year how there were certain members of this body who were shoveling significant amounts of sugar into Finn throughout the day, and it took us 2 months to recover. So I just want you to know I have my eye on you.
Welcome, Finnegan. Welcome, Susan Mead. In the West Gallery is also the Cody Youth for Justice group, who never fails, drives down in a snowstorm. But if you'd please stand and be recognized, there is a lunch today from 11:30 until 1:30 concerning Wyoming's independent living program. It should be a great program. It's very informative, and I think many of you would be surprised to learn some of the things that they will tell you about Wyoming Independent Living, but welcome Cody's Youth for Justice and their Debbie White. Seeing no other announcements, we are at that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. House Bill 1.
House Bill 1, introduced by the Appropriation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2010 and ending June 30th, 2012.
Ladies and gentlemen, pursuant to House Rule 28-26, a two-thirds vote is required to introduce House Bill 1 because it is beyond the bill introduction deadline. So assuming all of you would like to have a budget for the next biennium, we need a two-thirds vote for introduction. Will the reading clerk please read the bill? Please call the roll. The chief clerk, please call the roll. Okay, it is Monday morning.
Anderson. Anderson, Bagby,
aye.
Barbudo,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Flickery,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds, Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore, Gingery, excused. Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan, excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp, excused. Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Anderson,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
House Bill 1, the budget bill, is referred to Committee of the Whole. Ladies and gentlemen, I would also like to take another point of personal privilege and introduce to you Bob Lewandowski, the superintendent of the Park District 16 School District in Meteetse, and Sam May, the board chairman from Meteetse. It's wonderful to have these gentlemen with us today, and this is a very important school in my district and a district. Thank you. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 19 engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bagby, Barbudo, Blickery, Kennedy, Patton, Peasley, Korberg, Throne, excused, Gingrey, signed, representing Korberg, Vice Chair. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 26 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bagby, Barbudo, Blickery, Kennedy, Patton, Peasley, Korberg, Throne, excused, Gingrey, signed, Representative Korberg, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 72, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Stewart, no, Hammonds, Harshman, excused, Philip, signed, representing Berger, chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 16 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Anderson, Edmonds, Esquivel, Goggles, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Simlick, Wallace, signed, representative Anderson, chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 17, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Anderson, Edmonds, Madden, Miller, Wallace, no, Esquivel, Goggles, Peterson, Simlick, signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 28 engrossed, respectfully report sitting back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Anderson, Edmonds, Escobel, Goggles, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlick, Wallace. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 51 engrossed, respectfully reports sitting back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Byrd, Kraft, Harvey, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stepson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 23.
House Bill 23, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to business entities.
House Bill 23, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 33.
House Bill 33, introduced by Representative Edmonds, an act relating to taxation and revenue, property tax levy date.
House Bill 33, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 34.
House Bill 34, introduced by Representative Edmonds, an act relating to municipal elections, referendum on adopted ordinance petitions.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Second Amendment reading, or Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 34 and ask for its favorable introduction. As you'll remember, body, this is a bill that deals with a referendum on adopted ordinance petitions. What the bill does is currently move the 10-day date to 20 days if the citizens of a municipality want to overturn or challenge a ruling of that governing body. We had some discussion in committee, and I know we've had several instances in my county that even with that 10%, trying to get 10% of a larger municipality is much different and distinct than 10% of, say, a 300 or 400-person municipality. And so what I'm asking to be done is on page 1, line 16, basically bifurcating this law, and if you have less than 10,000 residents in that municipality, it would still be 10% of the public. If you have a municipality with more than 10,000, it would go to a 5% requirement to get all the requisite signatures to be put to a vote. I think Wyoming is one of the few states that has stricter controls on citizens' ability to affect the legislative process, either at state or the local level. And this just gives a little bit more flexibility if citizens in a larger town want to try to organize and initiate a mass movement if they feel that their governing body was unjust to put it to a vote of the people. I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Lebnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for my first time and probably my last time. On and against the amendment, and here's why. I think that if you're a qualified elector in a city or a town, you need to be treated equally. And if you're in a big community, that still doesn't mean that you should have a greater right to petition the government rather than a lesser right in a larger city. So if you have percentage requirements, it should be percentage requirements across the board, whether it's difficult or not. And we shouldn't give people in our larger cities greater rights than in our smaller towns.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, the bringer of the amendment did come and speak to me, and it was discussed in committee. It was an interesting idea, perhaps not the right time. I really did want to keep this bill as simple as possible, so I'm going to ask you to resist the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, also on and against the amendment. I think it's too complicated, and it's going to make the bill a lot more difficult when you start changing percentages and throwing them in. The bringer of the bill in the first place simply tried to do one thing, and that was lengthen the time. When you change the percentages and when you create a differential, I think it makes it a lot more complicated. It makes it a lot more difficult for people to vote on. And the 10% requirement in the larger communities is ameliorated by the fact that we're going to lengthen the time in which they need to get that 10% of the signatures. So I would urge you to vote against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Still in support of the amendment. My community has 53,000 people, and trying to get qualified elector signature is a very difficult process. We've had several ordinances that my community has tried to overturn. They've got what they thought was the requisite number, and they found that people moved. You know, their addresses don't match, if their zip codes don't match, if they, you know, add a, their names don't match on the voter rolls exactly, they get thrown out. And it's just a really confusing process. I don't think this language is anything a, you know, a sixth grader can't understand. I don't think it's a don't think it complicates the bill. I do understand and appreciate the concern about everyone is created equal, but I think everyone should have the power and capacity in a large municipality is different than that in a 500-person town, and I would ask you to vote for the amendment. Thank you.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 34. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 has failed. House Bill 34 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 39.
House Bill 39, introduced by Representative Gilmore, an act relating to insurance benefits usual, customary, and reasonable.
House Bill 39, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 47.
House Bill 47, introduced by Representative Childers, an act relating to federal policy, NEPA, and ESA review.
House Bill 47, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 54.
House Bill 54, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to agriculture, Wyoming Food Freedom Act.
House Bill 54, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 59.
House Bill 59, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to workforce services.
House Bill 59, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 60.
House Bill 60, introduced by Representative Pedersen, an act relating to Uniform Prudent Management of Institutional Funds Act.
House Bill 60, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 63.
House Bill 63, introduced by Representative Millen, an act relating to ultraviolet tanning devices.
House Bill 63, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 75.
House Bill 75, introduced by Representative Davison, an act relating to termination of parental rights.
House Bill 75, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 78.
Bill 78, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to taxation and revenue, natural gas taxation.
House Bill 78, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 79.
House Bill 79, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to condemnation, eminent domain, wind power collector lines.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 79 and ask for your favorable consideration. This does, on page 2, line 5, insert an exception for publicly regulated utilities. If they have to obtain a certificate of public convenience and necessity, then under this amendment they would not be subject to the moratorium. I don't think this does any harm, and it helps them a little bit because they're not in the free-for-all situation. They're regulated utilities. They have other agencies that they have to deal with. They're different from these merchant developers out there that are unregulated by any agency. And so for that reason, I think it's a good amendment, and I would ask you to vote favorably.
Does anyone else wish to speak on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 79? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 79 is passed. House Bill 79, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 80.
House Bill 80, introduced by Representative Harvey, an act relating to certification and hiring of police officers.
House Bill 80 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 83.
House Bill 83, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to crimes and offenses, restrictions for adult sex offenders.
House Bill 83 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm moving House Bill 89 to the bottom of this list for second reading. House Bill 89. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 90.
House Bill 90, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to insurance service contracts.
House Bill 90 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 91.
House Bill 91, introduced by Representative Connolly, an act relating to governmental immunity waiver for hospital whistleblowers.
House Bill 91 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 94.
House Bill 94, introduced by Representative Lockhart, an act relating to real property easements.
House Bill 94, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 95.
House Bill 95, introduced by Representative Yagi, an act relating to the Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act.
House Bill 95, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 97.
House Bill 97, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to nuclear energy production study.
House Bill 97, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 108.
House Bill 108, introduced by Representative Simpson, an act relating to health insurance reform.
House Bill 108, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 111.
House Bill 111, introduced by Representative Simpson, an act relating to public utilities, electric transmission, consideration of regional issues.
House Bill 111, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 114.
House Bill 114, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to partition fences.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move Second Amendment reading number one to House Bill 114. After my outburst the other day, the bringer of the bill put the burden on me to get the amendment drafted, and I've done so, and I'm satisfied that this would award the prevailing party the attorney's fees and not just the one who's bringing a suit over a partition fence. So it's in my view, Mr. Speaker, a favorable amendment.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In spite of the fact that we continue to include reasonable attorney fees, I would urge you to support this amendment.
Anyone else for their first or second time? We are voting on second reading. Excuse me, Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to say one thing about that. If you say reasonable attorney's fees, then you give the judge some control over the amount. And if we don't put the word reasonable in there, then somebody submits an attorney fee, and no matter how onerous or outrageous it might be, I think this would grant them the attorney fee. So I really like the word reasonable.
Thank you, Representative Brown. I will stipulate that all attorney's fees are reasonable. I think she was joking. We are voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 114. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 114 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 120.
House Bill 120, introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to education student assessment measures.
House Bill 120, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 122.
House Bill 122, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to disposal of livestock.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment on House Bill 122 simply brings to the bill language that was suggested by the department, the Board of Livestock, that clarifies how they would use one of the three options the bill provides them. So if they send livestock to slaughter, then the board may enter into agreements with licensed meat processing plants to process meat from livestock disposed of by slaughter. The processed meat shall be sold to either one, Wyoming state institutions, or to nonprofit organizations for no more than the board's cost for disposal, processing, and delivery, or to for-profit entities at market cost. Simply a better language than we originally had. I'd urge you to support it.
Anyone else for their first time? For second time? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 122, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 has passed. House Bill 122 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 125.
House Bill 125, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to subdivision separately acquired properties.
House Bill 125 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 128.
House Bill 128, introduced by Representative Simpson, an act relating to health insurance, interstate purchase.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to substitute bill number 1, House Bill 128. Since this is a new concept, we do not want anything to really occur until after the next session. So this amendment says, but the insurance commissioner shall be under no obligation to draft such rules and regulations until after March 15, 2011. I call for the question on the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could the good gentleman go over again why delay the rules for another year? I guess I didn't get it right.
Anyone else for their first time? For his second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This should have been a committee of the whole amendment. It was not. It was forgotten when we redid the when we did this as a substitute. This is a brand new concept. This is the health insurance interstate purchase. It's still, so to speak, a work in progress. And rather than to try and get the insurance commissioner to put out to draft rules and regulations, we would prefer that this go through the process on the other side and to see how things go federally. And then we can, after the next session, we can go ahead and draft rules after March 15, 2011, which is our long session.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 128. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 is passed. House Bill 128 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 132.
House Bill 132, introduced by Representative Davison, an act relating to homicide during pregnancy.
House Bill 132, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 10.
House Joint Resolution number 10, introduced by Representative Simpson, a joint resolution requesting Congress to reaffirm the primacy of Wyoming's water rights.
House Joint Resolution 10, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 89.
House Bill 89, introduced by Representative Gilmore, an act relating to construction contracts with public entities.
House Bill 89, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant to House Rule 26-2, I move that the rules be suspended with respect to the following bills and that said bills be immediately considered on third reading and final passage. House Bills 23, 33, 47, 59, 60, 63, 75, 80, 83. Sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is marked on your second reading list with the X.
90, 91, 94, 97, 111, 132, and House Joint Resolution 10. And 89, I'm not sure. I thought it had an amendment, but if it didn't, did it have an amendment? Okay. So that completes my motion, Mr. Speaker.
Excuse me. Just... Mr. Majority Floor Leader, House Bill 89 should remain on the list. It may have an amendment, but since all of the third reading, we need individual roll call. It may have an amendment. We can deal with it at that time. So House Bill 89 should be on the list.
I so move, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. We have passed the motion to accelerate the indicated bills from second to third reading today. We are at that order of business now of bills on third reading and final passage on the third reading consent list that does not include the second reading bills that were just talked about. So just the regular third reading consent list.
Mr. Speaker.
Yes, Chairman Landon.
Was that a debatable motion?
I suppose it was. I didn't call for any debate, and I didn't see anyone go to the podium. Just a moment. Chairman Landon, the rules are not clear that it allows for debate, but what I forgot to do was ask if anyone wanted to remove any bill from that list. So I would like to go back to that point and ask if anyone would like to remove any bill from the list as was indicated. All right. Seeing no objection. One moment, please. Ladies and gentlemen, since the rules aren't clear on whether or not objection can be raised, I'll go ahead and allow it, Chairman Landon.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is the first time in the experience I've had in the legislature that we have gone to this rule, except in cases where we've neared the end of our time that a bill could be on in the House, and we've had to expedite it in order to get it out in time. And so what I was waiting for the majority floor leader to explain was why this action was being taken, and I didn't hear that. And so that was kind of what I was wanting to drive is an explanation of why it was important to do this at this time.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, point of order. Rule 13-5 of the House rules says any member may change his vote on a roll call of ayes and nays only after the call is completed and only before the announcement of that vote is closed. And, Mr. Speaker, if I'm not mistaken, I think the announcement that the vote is closed was made and precludes any further vote changing by any of us.
Well, Representative Brown, I didn't declare the vote closed, and it wasn't a roll call. And with roll call, you have the declaration that the vote is closed. We don't have that declaration on a voice vote, so I will find that it's not out of order. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, the only reason for doing this is to attempt to get the bills that are not perhaps controversial on this floor and that were not likely to be amended on second reading, as you saw, or third reading, and get them on their way a day sooner, basically. It's my belief that, although I go back and forth on this, we're sending kind of a glut of bills over, but we're sending them a day earlier, and I think that increases our chances for your bills to be heard more quickly over in the Senate. I don't have a preference one way or the other, to be honest with you, but I think it can help the success or chances of success in the other body. So vote however you wish. It'll require a two-thirds affirmative vote on my motion.
Representative Patton.
Just a point of order on just above the smoking prohibited. Rule 27 is subparagraph D of 26, which says that a motion made under this requires the same affirmative vote as necessary to suspend the rules. That would mean that it would imply, although it doesn't state specifically, that that would be a roll call vote. I'm not opposed to the motion, however, but and I didn't write this rule, I want you to know. One of the few.
Thank you. We have suspended rules on voice votes with no objection without a roll call, but we will take a roll call in this instance since it is really a case of first impression here in the recent past. Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I would support the acceleration of the third reading. I did consult with the Majority Floor Leader. He did consult with me. We see this as an opportunity to move up our work and get it over to the House. We have 2 weeks left, folks, counting the number of days. And we want to ensure that our bills are heard timely on the other side of this institution.
Thank you, Mr. Minority Leader. Anyone else? Okay. We are voting on the motion to accelerate the listed bills. Two-thirds vote is required of the members elected to the House. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore. Gingery, excused. Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan, excused. Hammonds. Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Gagey.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp, excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 1 no, 3 excused.
The motion is passed. We are now on bills on third reading and final passage, regular consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just so the body knows, the bills on the motion that we just adopted, as you can see on the schedule, will go after the consent list and the regular third reading list. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bills 11, 69, 70, 72, 77, 86, 93, 102, 106, 113, 124, and House Joint Resolution 9.
Would anyone like to remove a bill from the consent list?
There is an amendment on 113, I believe.
113 is removed. Anyone else? Okay, so the consent list is as stated or listed on your sheets with the exception of House Bill 113. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall... Oh, excuse me, Mr. Reading Clerk, please read the bills.
House Bill 111. House Bill 11, introduced by Representative Esquivel, an act relating to the Wyoming Cancer Control Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 69, introduced by Representative Illaway, an act relating to elections, Secretary of State Directives Authority, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 70, introduced by Representative Pedersen, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding vacant land, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 72, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to the siting and regulation of wind energy, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 77, introduced by Representative Byrd, an act relating to youth archery licenses, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 86, introduced by Representative Millen, an act relating to Medicaid elderly care, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 93, introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to OSHA penalties, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 102, introduced by Representative Anderson, an act relating to livestock and brands, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 106, introduced by Representative Pedersen, an act relating to economic development, small business investment credit, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 124, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to liens, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Joint Resolution Number 9, introduced by Representative Simpson, a joint resolution requesting Congress to cease and desist from enacting mandates that are beyond the enumerated powers granted to the Congress by the United States Constitution, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Barbuto, Berger, Blake, Flickery, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery excused, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 noes. As to House Bill 11, are there any changes? Swanitzer Dave, aye to no. Simlick, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Shepperson, aye to no. Lockhart, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Harvey, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Wallace, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 41 ayes, 16 noes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 69, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 70, are there any changes? Simlick, aye to no. Swanitzer Dave, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Wallace, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Roscoe, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 50 ayes, 7 noes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 72, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 77, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 86, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 93, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Madden, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Peasley, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 3 noes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 102, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 106, are there any changes? Jorgensen, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes, 2 noes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 124, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Jorgensen, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 1 no, 3 excused. As to House Joint Resolution 9, are there any changes? Conley, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 1 no, 3 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 11, 69, 70, 72, 77, 86, 93, 102, 106, 124, and House Joint Resolution 9 have passed the House. The next item for our consideration is bills on third reading regular list, House Bill 113.
House Bill 113, introduced by Representative Korberg, an act relating to concealed weapon authority, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Here's 113. Representative Stebson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 113 and urge your favorable consideration. Sometimes trips home can have a cleansing effect, and I would say on this bill it did. As I was home this weekend, I think this bill garnered more discussion than anything we've done over the last week. And one of the issues that was repeatedly brought to me was the issue that I placed before you in third reading amendment number one. And that is, under the current permitted conceal and carry law, there is a requirement that anybody applying for a permit at least have some familiarity with a deadly weapon. And there are a number of categories of things that you can do to show that familiarity. What this amendment does is it just takes those things into House Bill 13 and says, even if you're not going to be permitted and you're going to have conceal and carry, you at least have to have familiarity with a deadly weapon. And to me, it really just represents the flip side of the coin to our rights, and that is our responsibilities. And this and so this bill is simply to say, look, you as a lawful citizen of the state, as somebody that's legally carrying a concealed weapon, you should know how to use that weapon, and you should know what the shooting end of that weapon is. And so you will see that this list is as inclusive as that under the permitting section. It does not infringe on anybody's ability to carry a weapon. It just says, look, you need to have some familiarity if you're going to carry a concealed weapon. And with that, I'd take any questions.
Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'll be a no vote on this particular amendment, but it really is a policy decision for this body to make. The reality of it is, right now in the state of Wyoming, you can carry open, and there is no training required. So if you put your six gun in your holster and carry it open so everyone can see it, you don't have to have any training at all. So I'm not sure, I guess if this makes your comfort level better, that somehow that this person that's gone through training is a law-abiding citizen, because that's really what House Bill 113 is all about. It's a measure for Wyoming's law-abiding citizens. So we already know, if you put this in the bill, law-abiding citizens are going to go get the training, perhaps already have gone and received the training and just for some reason or another don't care to go through the permitting process. But the reality of it is, you're still the citizens that aren't going to follow the rules and play by the book and the law, those citizens are still not going to go through the training. They're still going to carry concealed with or without the permit, irregardless of what we put in statute. So this bill is really about law-abiding citizens. It's your call that if somehow they've gone through the training, they're more law-abiding or they're more capable of carrying concealed rather than open, this is your call, but I will be a no vote on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Looking through this list of qualifying safety training, I don't see Wyoming Hunter Safety on here, which, you know, is more for hunting, of course, but there is a safety component of that. And I think I could have voted for this if that was included, because an awful lot of Wyoming people do get their hunter safety endorsements. You know, you can't, if you're born after, I believe, 68, you absolutely have to have it in order to hunt in Wyoming. And I just noticed it's absent, and I would like a comment on whether it was considered or not considered as being included on this list. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly rise in support of this amendment. I reflect back to 1967 when I entered into the Marine Corps. They issued us an M14 rifle, but they didn't say, okay, you got the rifle now, go out and do some shooting with it. We spent 2 weeks in familiarity training with it. We then went on the rifle range for 2 years or 2 weeks to get familiar with the weapon and how to act. You look through this list of A through F, and you can see there are various stipulations here that should be enforced. It has nothing to do with the licensing aspect, but it makes the individual holder responsible and accountable for that weapon. So I certainly rise in support of this amendment.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have little to add to what's been said, and I know time is a consideration. From the many comments I've heard from home, I would say the strongest have been from those people who teach the handgun safety classes, and they are quite concerned about the level of knowledge that people have when they've come to their classes, and the idea that, in fact, we would have a system which people would not have to be familiar with handguns. Handguns, from their explanation to me, are not like other guns and do require a specific familiarity For that reason, I would encourage you to adopt this amendment because of the other, we are one of 47 states that believe people should be familiar with handguns when they carry those as concealed weapons. For that reason, I would ask that you support the proposed amendment.
Chairman Assembly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a question for the sponsor of the amendment. You know, I think we understand, at least I somewhat understand, in the permit statutes where there are some requirements for training that you would have, I don't know, either you affirm or attest that, or the sheriff has knowledge of that who takes that permit application on to other agencies. But with respect to 113, where permit obviously is not required, I guess I'm just not sure how do we qualify someone to have these list of certifications or completions of some requirements.
Representative Harshman, could you come to the chair for a moment, please?
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. On and against the amendment, I don't think that we necessarily need that on this bill. And I would remind you that on page 3 of the bill itself, at line 21, lines 19 through 21, it talks about a person shall not carry a concealed deadly weapon into any location specified in 68104T. And if you're not familiar with that list, here's the list. Any facility used primarily for law enforcement operations or administration without the consent of the chief administrator. Any detention facility, prison, or jail. Any courtroom, with an exception. Any meeting of a governmental entity. Any meeting of the legislature or a committee thereof. Any school, college, or professional athletic event not related to firearms. Any portion of an establishment licensed to dispense alcohol and malt beverages for consumption for its primary purpose. Any place where persons are assembled for public worship without the written consent of the chief administrator. Any elementary or secondary school. Any college or university facility without the written consent of the security services. Any place where the carrying of firearms is prohibited by federal law or regulation or state law. I think that covers a lot of the things that we've talked about gun rights and where you can carry your guns, and I think we should take a strong position on gun rights. Thank you.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you. Just to respond.
Excuse me, Representative Stubson, anyone else for their second time? Sorry. Representative Stubson, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just in response to that last comment, I don't think this does anything to weaken folks' rights in the state of Wyoming to carry a firearm, their Second Amendment rights. There's not a single person within the state that would be limited by this as long as they go and do what any of us responsible people would do, which is get training on how to use a firearm. There was a question with respect to the hunter safety course and using it as another standard. Really, these provisions were taken directly from what's in the permitting statute right now, and that's the reason the hunter safety is not in there. This reflects exactly what we have said for other people carrying concealed weapons, that this is training that is appropriate for those folks. With respect to the enforcement, it is important to understand this isn't saying, you know, you have to carry your certificate in your pocket with you. This isn't saying that somebody's going to be checking up on you to make sure that you've got your certification. What this is saying is, you know, as the good majority whip said, this is a bill for law-abiding citizens. And all this is saying is this is what we expect of our law-abiding citizens in the state of Wyoming who carry a weapon, that they know how to use it. And that's all it says. It is an expectation that we set up in law to ensure that the people that are carrying concealed weapons are doing so responsibly. I don't think that where you can carry a concealed weapon has anything to do with this debate. All it is saying is that when you do carry a concealed weapon, that you have training to know how to use it. And with that, I would ask you to vote in favor of third reading amendment number one.
Thank you. We are voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 113. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading, amendment number one. Well, the chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please rise. Third reading, amendment number one has passed. Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number two to House Bill 113 and will withdraw at the proper time. I was interested in the invocation that was given this morning. There were a couple key phrases that kind of struck my attention. One of them was that we meet the genuine needs of the people. I thought that was interesting. And further, he urged us to do what was in the best interest of our community. I thought that was interesting also. And I wondered whether this bill passed those tests. But in addition to that, I also started thinking of unintended consequences of this bill, and I really became concerned about the discussion that the good representative from Lander shared with us on first reading about the law enforcement pulling somebody over and then checking to see if they had a weapon in their car. Then that would be an additional duty that they would have to check on that. And I thought, in this day and age, we can create these databases and we can keep track of people. And I was wondering whether or not we're actually advocating for more Big Brother in this area. Because one of the things that law enforcement officer would have to search, and there would have to be a database for, is on page 2, little 4, is whether or not that person had ever been in a state or federal facility for abuse of controlled substances and convicted of those things. I also wondered what kind of database would there be for a person who was chronically or habitually addicted to alcohol and whether that person had been involuntarily committed into a residential facility pursuant to the laws. Are we going to create a database on that? How do you know whether that person's been a resident for the state for 6 months? Is there going to be a further database on that? And so I thought, you know, we might be asking for more Big Brother in this type of where we think we're freeing ourselves. We might actually be bringing on more government. And so I just thought we should have a second thought as to whether or not we really want to go forward with this.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, rise in support of the amendment and against the bill. There's three crucial factors that I see in this bill, and the first one the fine representative from Sheridan brought up is how in the world do you enforce it? Do you stop every person that you believe is under the age of 21 that you see with a concealed weapon? What happens if somebody from out of state comes in? How do you know what age they are? They don't have to have a driver's license with them. With the concealed weapon permit, if you see somebody, you stop them and you say, I need to see your concealed weapons permit, story's over. People are able to do whatever you want them to in the state now. All they have to do is go get a permit. And that brings up the second point is oversight of property rights. Now, I know this has been a big issue with one of the big box store retailers. I know it's been a big issue with one of the major coffee chains in the country. But with no oversight, then shouldn't the property owners have a right to say, I don't want a concealed weapon in your business? And I think we discussed that before, so I won't go in there on that one anymore. And the third one, when you have an open weapon that you carry, you're pretty much assured if it's out in the open, it's going to be held in some sort of proper holster, some sort of proper mechanism. Now, with a concealed weapon, If you're feeling a little flighty that day and you just go grab the gun and throw it in your coat pocket or throw it in your pants pocket or throw it in your shirt pocket, there's nothing in this law that says it has to be properly strapped. And to me, if you're in a business or in a situation where you have to bend over to pick something up, or if you slip on the ice and these firearms come out, I feel there's a danger to our citizens. When people have to go get a permit, I feel they are responsible people. Those 500 emails that we received, ladies and gentlemen, were from people that know firearms, that respect firearms. Those aren't from the innocent bystanders that are scared to death of firearms. And if we do away with the concealed or the need to go get a concealed weapons permit, then I think the government has the right to step in and say, we need to protect those people that don't want that near us. So with those comments, I'll turn it over. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment, which obviously is to suggest that I'm going to vote no when after he withdraws it. I want to make clear that I have hunted and fished for longer than most of you and have enjoyed it. I have several arms, and I enjoy them. I have two sidearms. I'm not near as good as some of the other members of my family with the sidearms, who incidentally have permits. Seems strange to me that we have in law for as long as perhaps anybody in this room a law that has the permission for a concealed weapon. It's been statutory. We've got along with it all these years. I don't understand why all of a sudden, today, it's inadequate. I don't see that it's inadequate at all. If this fails, those laws are going to be right where they were when we started. The concealed weapons will be right the way that they were when we started. Nothing has changed, at least in 30 or 40 years. And I'm interested just to pass that the exclusion said that you couldn't have a firearm and a concealed weapon in the legislature. But it's okay to have a concealed weapon without certification in the mall. I'd like to have my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren enjoy the same privileges as all the years that I've had, and I'm still trying to grow up. Thank you.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I've been debating whether I'm going to speak on this one. I'm for this amendment, against this bill. Everybody in here that I know of who doesn't already have a concealed carry permit can get one. No problems. I own quite a few pistols. I have two shotguns, which I bought at an auction house the other end of town. Some of you may know the owners. I gave them my driver's license, my Social Security card. In a couple minutes, they okayed me the sale of those two shotguns. Everybody in here that I know of, I guess unless you're a convicted felon or can get a concealed permit right now. I don't see the need for this. We can get it right now. And for the amendment, against the bill. Thank you.
Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, for my first time, I'm going to attempt to answer some of the questions regarding this piece of legislation. I think it is important for you to remember that my motive for bringing this piece of legislation, it is about individual rights and it is about private property rights both. And I believe it's about Wyoming people, Wyoming law-abiding citizens being able to carry concealed within the boundaries of their own state without a permit. I don't believe there will be any unintended consequences in terms of law enforcement having additional responsibilities about their need to make sure that everyone that's carrying concealed is legal any more than they have the responsibility if you're permitted. I do not believe that every law enforcement officer that makes a stop in a vehicle or on a street asks someone if they're carrying concealed with a permit. I believe they use their common sense when they approach that traffic stop or they approach that person on the street. They assess the situation and the level of danger, and they may or may not ask. I have a great deal of confidence in law enforcement's ability to safely and effectively, to safely from their own perspective, handle this situation and to effectively not to abuse it by thinking that every time that they have to go out on the street now and every person they see on the street, they have to ask them, are you carrying concealed without a permit? I do not believe that law enforcement is going to view this piece of legislation in that manner. And the reason I don't, partially is because many of you may or may not know, but I was a peace officer for 6 years in the state of Wyoming. And I hold those individuals in the highest regard. They are well trained and they do their job very well. And we were always taught in the academy not only to assess the situation, to use our common sense, but also to approach the situations with the care and the due diligence that was necessary. And therefore, I have every confidence in law enforcement's ability to interpret this statute correctly, to approach it in a safe manner, and yet not to abuse their rights on the street by thinking that they have some now new statute where they have to stop everybody on the street. They don't do that right now for concealed carry with a permit. I don't believe they're going to start doing it with concealed carry without a permit. So I'm not concerned about the unintended consequences for law enforcement of this piece of legislation, which that goes to the second set of questions about how do you enforce it? If you do ask someone, you do have to check it through the system, just like you would if they were permitted. Just because they have a permit on that day doesn't mean that they're still not dangerous, with or without the permit. I don't believe, I think we cleared up the part about private property owners right now can post if they don't want anyone carrying concealed with a permit. They don't post it. They don't even know who's coming and going in their own place of business that's permitted. Just because they're permitted doesn't mean that they're necessarily not a danger to society on any particular day. So I don't believe that property owners, or I also don't believe that they're going to overact to this situation. So I believe this is a good piece of legislation. I believe there's good checks and balances in it. Some will not agree with me. Both sides of the aisle, some are not agreeing with me. So I have to think that we've probably hit the mark because not everyone is happy with this piece of legislation. But I think it is a good piece of legislation that speaks to reinforcing the right of law-abiding citizens in the state of Wyoming to defend themselves, to defend their families. And it recognizes our constitutional right here in the state of Wyoming to bear arms. For my first time, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to vote against this amendment and for the bill for two reasons. Number one, I want to disabuse everyone in here of any notion that anybody can get a concealed carry permit. I represented a person who had a perfect record and was denied a concealed carry permit by a police chief who had been fired from his previous job. It was upheld at our highest law enforcement level in the state, and it was upheld by the district court, and they never gave him a reason. They would never give him a reason, and the district court said they didn't have to give him a reason. And I don't think that's right. It's arbitrary, and it's capricious, and it falls in the hands of, in that case, fell in the hands of someone who shouldn't have been making that kind of decision. The second reason is I think there are people in our state who are unwittingly carrying concealed weapons. They're in technical violation of the statute, and I don't think they know it. And I think the statute's too technical. I think it's an entrapment for people with good intentions. And if they knew they had to get a concealed carry permit, they probably would, but I don't think they know that, and I think they're violating the law. And I just hate to get them in an entrapment situation. So against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm speaking for the amendment and against the bill. And I need to give an explanation. I fully expect this bill to pass this body. And given that I'm a pragmatic legislator, I wanted to make it as good as I possibly could, and that's why I co-sponsored the previous amendment, because as it goes forward, I do believe for me that's a critical part, that people are trained in the use of it. But first, I want to compliment the sponsor of the bill. We have debated this for 6 years. This is our sixth session, and we were freshmen together, and I am in such admiration of your growth as a legislator. It's incredible to me. The first time we debated it, I remember it was the first thing we ever disagreed on, and I spun around in my seat, and I said to her, "Will you still love me in the morning? I think I'm going to talk against you." And we laughed, and it made it possible. And so at the end of today, as serious as this issue is, I want us to know that as we work together, that the respect that we retain for each other is a critical component. But it really reminds me of my athletic career. When I was 12 years old, I joined a softball team, a girls' softball team in my hometown. And I was first baseman, and I loved it. I loved baseball, softball, actually. And I loved it until, that is, we played the women's team in town. My community had the state champion women's softball team. And there I was on first base, and this gal hit the ball, and I looked down that baseline, my toes on the bag, and I looked down the baseline, and here comes a 200-pound tank running at this little, at that point, 100-pound 12-year-old. And in that critical moment, as I saw her coming toward me, I made that decision to move my toe off the bag, and, honey, here the bag is. I was not laying my life on the line for a softball game. And that was the end of my athletic career, quite frankly. And I feel like this bill is like that. There are many of you out there that could go either way, but it's an election year, and you see this 200-pound gal coming at you, and you go, well, she can have first base. Maybe my friends at second base will stop her. Or maybe somebody downstairs will stop her at third base. Or maybe somebody in our chief attorney's office might stop her. Somebody else will stop this gal that's coming down there. Well, we're not kids playing a game. We are individuals who have pledged to do what we think is right in our hearts, to stand and to be able to explain why we vote no or why we vote yes. And even if it is an election year, this is not a game. And you need to learn to trust your own judgment in these circumstances. From my perspective, my reason for voting against the bill will be simply that we have an existing law for a concealed permit, like 46 other states. The new law we're about to pass says if you get turned down for a concealed permit, you may go ahead and carry anyway. We have not covered all of the same regulations that the concealed permit has denial for, things like domestic violence. And I can't see how you can have a parallel system that says our law enforcement people will turn you down, but you are still qualified to carry the weapon without a permit. That's my personal reason, in addition to the mother of a law enforcement officer said, oh, for heaven's sakes, you're not voting for this bill. Those are my reasons that I'll tell folks back home, and I share with you. Thank you.
Representative McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. I have two of my son and my brother are law enforcement people. They're not particularly thrilled with this bill. But we approach this bill as that the minute we pass this bill, every person in Wyoming is going to be walking around with a concealed weapon. I don't believe that. I have a concealed weapon permit, and the only reason I have it is because I carry a weapon in my car for when I'm traveling and want to stop at a rest stop or something late at night. I don't think we're going to see a proliferation of people walking around with weapons. They can do that. Those that want to do that now, you see them walking around with them exposed. So I don't believe that that's going to happen. I have a very great concern for my law enforcement brethren. But they have told me that they will continue to make their stops and their approaches like they've been trained to do, and they always will do. If you think about where law enforcement gets in the most trouble and most injuries, it's domestic violence and traffic stops. In those two areas, whether you've got a concealed weapon permit or you don't have a concealed weapon permit, that gun is going to be available to those people. Remember, folks, this bill isn't going to law. People that are criminals and felons are going to have their weapons regardless if we pass this or not. So on and against the amendment and for the bill.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and for the bill. I've been down here 10 years, and we've debated this a lot, and this is the first time I've spoken on the rights to carry and own arms. And we've heard a lot of arguments back and forth. One of the things that we said consistently for those 10 years is that the bad guys are not going to follow the rules, and the good people will. And here's an argument that I haven't heard in this debate this time that I think is important. If we pass this bill, it will add uncertainty in the minds of the bad guys whether the good guys are carrying a weapon or not. And in my mind, that's a significant issue. If they know, like you hear the stories in some communities where there's no guns allowed, that they have no weapons to be worried about, the crime is different. And I think in Wyoming, by passing this bill, we'll add uncertainty in the minds of the bad guys and gals, that they could be meeting somebody who has a concealed weapon. So on and against the amendment for the bill.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment for the bill, applaud the bringer of the bill. I've had the opportunity to speak on this in years past. It's really, there's some of you in this body that have carry permits, some don't. Really, what's the difference? I mean, I think we all kind of trust each other on this floor. Some of my friends have permits, some don't. And so it's really, I think the previous speaker from Natrona County hit it on the head. It's really about whether you trust the good guys who all went to the polls and voted you into this spot. And it's just a matter of trust. And there'll always be bad guys breaking the rules, but, I think, again, it comes down to basic trust of our friends, our neighbors, and our constituents, and so I urge your support for the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Peasley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been asked by several not to speak, but I'm going to have one more try at it. I'm always reluctant to get up here because I tend to get a little too wound up, so let me just give you my view of this. I spent a lot of years studying constitutional law, not only in undergraduate school and in law school, but I took graduate courses in it, and I never did get to study the Second Amendment. This is really kind of new to me. I suppose thinking back on the schools I was going to, they probably didn't think the Second Amendment counted. And I think that's a lot of what the problem is. There's also only been a few Supreme Court cases that have interpreted it. So we're limited in the scope of what we have. And I know that Wyoming seems to be fairly conservative, but I'm going to say that we're probably a little more progressive. We like to pay lip service to rights, and at the same time, we have to have the state involved at some level to make sure that we use those rights correctly. I think our conservatives are more people that want to just take small steps to the left instead of large ones sometimes. And on this one, I don't know. This looks to be, and I don't own a gun, for crying out loud. I don't have a permit. I've never worried about it. But one thing I did find out once when I was stuck in South Central Los Angeles with a coming diesel pickup on a smelly old stock trailer, and we broke down, we had trouble, and I had to call a locksmith to get into it in the middle of the night, and I said, well, I'm worried about leaving this stock trailer and what we put in it. We were trying to haul some furniture. And this old guy from South Central, the locksmith, said, don't worry about it, guy. He said nobody's going to fool with a Wyoming pickup truck that's got a stock trailer because they're going to be worried about somebody having a gun. And I also remember the editorial. The gal wrote a letter about leaving the mall. Now, we don't want these people with guns in the mall. But she left a mall, I think, in some southern city late at night. And as she was walking, she got into a predicament, and she was confronted with a man. And she said, I knew the minute I saw him and I saw my predicament that I was going to get mugged. And she said, the one thing that bothered me the most about the way he looked at me was I knew that he knew that I didn't have a gun. Because it was prohibited in that town. You couldn't carry, concealed or otherwise. And so I think if sometimes we look at this from the point of view of the villain, I think it's just good to know that. And in fact, I was kind of bothered we had to bring a bill. When the Constitution says I have a right to bear arms, then why do I need a law to define that? I kind of always assumed I could just, if I wanted to, buy a gun and carry it. Because it's right there in the Constitution. Just like I know I have the right to get up and speak. But if I say fire, okay, I'm going to get in trouble. On the same time, if I'm going to carry a gun, I'm going to use it wrong, I'm going to get in trouble. So I don't know. It looks to me as though this is kind of a hard line for us to approach, because the law is going to draw the line between what is really, is it a freedom or is it a privilege? And don't forget how those privileges go. We have a right to mobility. The Supreme Court has recognized a right to mobility. In Wyoming, does mobility mean anything without a car? It means nothing. You lose your right to a job. You lose your right to go to church. You lose your right to take care of your family. You don't have a vehicle. You can't travel. And yet we call a driver's license a privilege. And we love it. We just keep using that word privilege, privilege. We, the elite, have told you you have the privilege to drive here and there, but under certain circumstances. And watch where those privileges go. Last year, we terminated the rights of men who were behind in child support to drive a car. So that apparent right to move about gets limited by virtue of the geography, gets further limited by us calling it a privilege, and then it gets further used to beat up on people we don't like. And I just don't know that we needed the bill. I wasn't hot to trot about it. I hadn't read the Second Amendment lately. God, it's not very long. Pretty short little thing there. And it seemed to me to give me that right, and I just couldn't understand why we needed this. But I've been persuaded that we do at least need in this state to define, do we have that right? Does my wife, in the middle of the night, if she has to walk a couple blocks, does she have a constitutional right to take a gun she may have only had a couple cracks at, a couple times to use it, something I gave her just for protection, but she's got to go down the street. Does she have the right to throw it in her purse? And I guess I just trust our people a little more. I just think it's a right, and I want us to recognize it as such. And I think you're faced with a red line decision here. I don't think this is a 200-pound bully coming down the baseline. I think this is a time when we decide, we're in this game. It's a right to be in the game, and we're going to have to be the ones that define it. So I want to just read one little thing. We wonder why we're doing it now. And about all I can tell you, that struck me as a profound question. Why now are we suddenly trying to do this? And maybe we've seen it nationally. There seems to be a groundswell of what are our rights as Americans. And the reason we're wondering, I think, is because we're losing so many of those rights. And they're slipping away slowly. And maybe we're just some kind of crazy backlash. But I found a little excerpt. It said, if civil libertarians have difficulty understanding why law-abiding people should want to arm themselves against the government, it's because they have strayed so far from the philosophy of natural rights that underlie our Constitution. And I think maybe it is a little bit of an overreaction. I think maybe we are jumping a little bit too quick. But I can understand why we're doing it. And I don't have a gun. I don't plan on getting one soon. But I do want to know when I walk in a store or someplace that if something goes crazy, that there's going to be some little guy there who just happens to have his concealed weapon or happen to throw one in her purse, and we'll stop it. If I'm a bad guy, I'm going to certainly go to the place that says nobody comes in here that has a gun, and I'm going to take my gun in and do my business. So I'm against the amendment and on the bill, and thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just briefly, it's gone on long enough, but again, this is
close to a lot of us here. You know, the only time I carry a gun in my vehicle is when I have a hunting license in my pocket. So it's always a long gun. Occasionally we go out target shooting, maybe take a few pistols with us when we do that. But again, it reminds me every time I drive home from Cheyenne during the session, I pull into one of these rest stops at 11 o'clock at night. And you know, it's every single time when I only see one other car in the parking lot, I'm thinking, man, I wish I had my revolver with me. I could stick it in my pocket, go in there. At least if there's someone in there with a weapon, it's at least more of a fair fight then. One of the rest stops in our county, when it first opened, there were a couple of people killed in it late at night, just like that. It crosses my mind every time I pull into these rest stops. So I think I should have the right to throw that gun in my car and have it in there. And if I were to be stopped right now and it's underneath my seat, that's against the law. So, again, against the amendment for the bill.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. I want to ask a rhetorical question and then maybe another rhetorical question. The first rhetorical question is, if we pass this bill, what, if anything, is law enforcement going to do differently in approaching a traffic stop? And I believe the answer is nothing, because they have to assess the situation, and whether you're permitted or not, there's going to be people who have concealed weapons in their vehicles. Now, the other question is, if we pass this bill or not, are we going to stop people from doing bad things if they want to do bad things? And you only need to turn to the news to find out the answer to that question. If you can't have a firearm or don't have a firearm, you go steal an airplane and you crash it into a building. Or if you want to hurt yourself and you don't have a firearm, you unhook the gas in your house and blow it up. Or use a car. In my community, they used to sell bumper stickers that said, when D9s are outlawed, only outlaws will have D9s. The requirement for a conceal and carry permit does not make us all any less human. But there are advantages to carrying a firearm that other speakers have detailed. And it's important, I think, to consider those advantages just in the mere deterrence that make me against this amendment and for the bill.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't rationalize not passing this bill, so I'm speaking on and against the amendment and for the bill. If you can open carry without any restriction at all, which you can do, why do we have a concealed permit requirement? Because you put it in your pocket or you put it in your purse? If you have the right to open carry with no training, don't know how to operate the gun, what's the sense of that? But if you don't know how to operate it and you put it in your pocket, that somehow makes it different. I believe it is going back to that fundamental right, and I don't view it as a privilege. I view it as a right, and I've used guns my whole life. I think I was babysat by guns a couple times, but with 22s. And it was great. But I was taught how to operate them. I knew how to operate them. I didn't always operate them right. And there were times when I was, you know, caught by my dad or my uncle with, why is this gun loaded in the house? Because I'm stupid. But I still had the right to use it, and I was given that privilege. But I just can't imagine why that if you can open carry with no restrictions, why we don't recognize that in statute more fully, and this bill does exactly that.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. Sorry, against the amendment and for the bill, I don't know how many times one can say the same thing that's been said already dozens of times, but, you know, from a historical but basic point of view, over 235 years ago, an incredible group of people got together, and an incredible document was written, one of the world's best drafted, in my opinion, well-intended, well-meant by learned individuals. Their deliberations were often in the discussion of their former masters, a monarchy with a huge military that intended on ruling the world. But yet, that is not where we are here today. But I know their discussions must have included, certainly, defense of home, defense of family, and defense of self. It had to. Actually, I know it did, but as the historical data, it did include those discussions. But, you know, bad guys existed even then. Don't be deluded. They were just as vicious and just as ornery and just as ill-intended then as they are now. But I'm guaranteed that then there were no databases. Then there were no permits, and there certainly wasn't any government registration. You know, I'm a fan of that document, as I know most of you are. It is one of the most ingenious ever written, in my opinion. But I know times have changed. We have more people in the world. We have more people in this country. The climate has changed, but we certainly have more criminal activity. We have more things to make people more criminal. There's more insecurity. There's more unsurety in our country, in our very lives. We just don't feel, I think, as secure with ourselves and our families as people did even 200 years ago or more. Maybe I'm wrong. The balance of the world thinks our civilization in America is gun crazy. Perhaps it is. I think many of us in this room think the balance of the world is crazy in a different way. Considering the rights of humanity and the rights of defense of self and a family go as far back as history and well beyond that, I can imagine that a caveman was certainly fearful of his family and for himself and herself, even living in a cave, to the point that they invented rocks and clubs with which to beat one another up with. But they did it because not to go out and club someone else, simply but to defend themselves. You know, when it comes to security for my family, don't ask me for a permit.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Had a good discussion there with the difference between a right and a privilege, and I really respect that. There's nothing in the current law that says that you don't have the right to keep and bear arms. This measure does not change that. What it changes is how we interpret it, and the change is, and he's absolutely correct, it's a privilege. However, if we're driving home at night, 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, and you'd like to take your gun off the floor of the car and walk into the gas station, you have that right. You got it right now. Just do it in the open. I can't help but think that an amendment, which I regret that I didn't think of it in time to, well, I did think of it in time, but I didn't want to do it. And that is to have an amendment that stated take out that exception about the legislature. Because if it's good for the legislature to say that you can't have a concealed weapon here, then it's good for my wife when she goes to the mall. It's good for my kids when they go to the mall. It's good for my grandchildren when they go to the mall. And it's good for my great-grandkids. Yes, I have some. When they go out on the public street. For the amendment and opposed to the bill.
Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just in closing, I would just like to sum this up by saying we've had a great debate here today. But if this bill fails to pass, I've said over and over again, this is a bill for Wyoming people, for Wyoming law-abiding citizens, about being able to not only carry open, but also carry concealed in our state without a permit. And if it fails, you know, there's something inherently wrong, in my opinion, when law-abiding citizens have to get permission. Have to go get the permit from the government to carry a firearm concealed. There is just something inherently wrong with that whole philosophy of the role that government should play in our lives. Law-abiding citizens do not assault innocent people. Law-abiding citizens do not assault law enforcement officers. Law-abiding citizens do not kill innocent people. Law-abiding citizens do not kill peace officers. This bill is about self-protection and about Wyoming's law-abiding citizens' right to carry concealed without a permit, against the amendment and for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you come up, please, for a moment? Representative Landon, for your second time.
Mr. Speaker, I appreciate the discussion. Just for a side moment, I too am a gun owner and user, and I have a history of gun accidents to prove it. Nothing like the hole shot through the floorboard of a pickup out in the middle of the Booners, and you get out and watch the gas draining out of your gas line into the snow. And you think, boy, this is going to take some fast thinking to figure out how we're going to get out of this. That's one of several. You know, I think that we need to talk about the status quo. And the status quo does protect the rights of the citizens. And I think the comments that were expressed, I want to make a couple comments on those. I don't think our permit system is to give permission to law-abiding citizens. I think our permit system is just the flip coin of that. I heard on the TV where 3,500 Wyoming citizens applied for a permit last year, and something like 160 were denied. Well, that's what the permit system's for. There's 160 out there who would be carrying with this law just in 1 year that for some reason were denied. They were not seen as law-abiding citizens. And I think that's why we have the permit system. It's a filter. It takes some effort to apply for a permit. That's a filter. The laws we have now is constitutional, and I would advocate that it serves the needs of the citizens. I don't think I'll feel any safer if we pass this bill. And finally, one comment, and I think this is what we all have some anxiety about, and I share the anxiety of the good representative from Moreland, of standing stationary with a 200-pound full-bore individual running straight at you. I share that anxiety. And I think that I'm kind of getting off the topic, but that I found that entertaining. And I think that that's what we are trying, that the present laws we have now gives people some comfort that there are those out there, and we aren't talking about law-abiding citizens, but there's some out there who do apply, who do not get the license, and that gives us some comfort. Our rights are protected. I'd advocate let's stay with the status quo and resist this amendment, and I withdraw the amendment.
Thank you, Chairman Lane. Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 113 has been withdrawn. House Bill 113 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
No.
Berger. Blake.
No.
Licorice.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery excused. Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
No.
Hammonds.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen. Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
No.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson. Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 42 ayes, 15 noes, 3 excused.
House Bill 113, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 113 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 115.
House Bill 115, introduced by Representative Buchanan, an act relating to taxation and revenue specific purpose excise tax voter petition, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
The sponsor of the third reading amendment number one to House Bill 115 is excused and absent, is excused and not present. Third reading amendment number one is withdrawn. Yes, you may, Chairman Anderson. Okay. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number one to House Bill 115 and would withdraw it at the proper time. I rise in favor of this amendment. I think I live in a county where we have four municipalities. One of them is better than 50,000 and the others are 100, 1,000, and about 300. This distinctly gives a disadvantage to those county or those municipalities to be heard on any issue that comes up for capital facilities. In fact, it negates them almost entirely in those things. So I'd rise in opposition to this bill on that basis, that it's a fair practice that we have now, and this negates that fair practice.
Representative Miller is wondering what to do.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment and against the bill, we're elected as a representative body down here, and that's what they elect us to do, come down here and vote for issues like this. They should petition us in our districts, come to us. We can even bring some bills if we agree or don't agree and bring it before the whole body and let us discuss these issues out in the open. To let select groups look at this and bring something like this, I don't want to end up like California.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I can almost do it from memory. My favorite piece of the Wyoming Constitution, it's right in the beginning under the Declaration of Rights, and it says basically something like, in a free republic, there shall be no infringement on the lives, liberty, or property of free men, not even in the largest majority. I don't think I have that quite right, but it's pretty darn close. And I think that the thing that really troubles me about this is that is exactly what's happening. It's the folks that live in the small areas and the rural areas are completely cut out of decisions that they're being charged with supporting. So for that reason, I would stand opposed to this.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll address those terms one by one, or those points that were made with regard to the good representative from House District 52. That is precisely why we need the bill. This gives power to the people themselves to petition their own government to place an issue upon the ballot. And I guess I could dovetail that response to the good representative, from House District 10. What's really happening here, this can work both ways. You have people who want something on the ballot, but the bigger incorporated municipalities, if their governing body does not want to put that issue on the ballot with regard to the specific purpose tax, then the people, a populist movement, if you will, that requires a 5% of the county electors to place their name on a petition, those people do not have the right to petition to get the matter placed on the ballot. Just put on the ballot is all I'm talking about. Everyone still has to vote at the general election on this issue. And then that takes me to the points made by the good representative from House District 55. I'm not sure I understood all of that with regard to when it was stated we are elected and we don't want to turn out to be like California. I'm a little bit confused by that because I guess depending on your issue and whether or not you agree with it or not, is whether or not you agree that the people should have the right to petition their government to put issues that are important to them upon the ballot. If you have to rely on your county commissioners, that's fine. Keep in mind under Title 39, under the economic development tax, and also on the general revenue tax, there's two ways you get that on the ballot. One is by 2/3 incorporated municipalities, resolution passed by, and the other is the 5% of the people sign a petition and tell their government, hey, we want this on the ballot. That's all I'm asking for the specific purpose tax. And the reason it's important for that is because that's the one people can use to get facilities that their government may not otherwise be able to afford. And we all consider, I think, tax a four-letter word most generally, but the only reason I stand in support of this and I want to do this is because this is the only one where tax is a three-letter word, not necessarily a bad word, because the people themselves get to ask to tax themselves. And they put on the ballot, they have to put on the ballot, exactly what it's going to be used for. So the people have the power to tax themselves, decide what they want to spend the money on, then it goes to a vote of everybody. And if that's wrong, then I guess I missed the point on that. So on and for the bill against the amendment.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I've got some of concern. I've got an email from one of my county officials that I have a lot of respect for, and his concern was not that you have the right for 5%, but in our county at least, when one of these issues come up, they provide that it's got to have some type of sinking fund, some type of fund that's set there so that it can maintain itself over a period of time. If you don't have that, all of a sudden you've burdened the city or the county with dealing with these costs, these maintenance costs, these overhead costs that continue to go on. And I guess I need to have this language explained to me a little bit better, how that difficulty could be dealt with from somebody trying to get this petition. And how this will be worded on the ballot. It's not clear to me how these types of things are supposed to be worded on the ballot. So if, in fact, there isn't an explanation going through some other statute or something, I rise in opposition of the bill and in support of the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else? For your second time, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just to clarify, I'm not really concerned about putting issues before the voters as long as they understand the issue. The reason every person in this body is here is because the voters had the opportunity to elect you to go represent them down here. This represent them. Again, when I referred to that state to the west with the European governor out there, I was referring to, you know, the dozens and dozens. I think I even heard hundreds of issues brought before the voters in some of their election cycles. I mean, how many people on this floor understand every single bill we debate here? You have to listen to debate, and sometimes you form your opinions on the floor here, sometimes on third reading. I know on this bill, I supported this bill until I got to thinking more and more and more about it. You know, I therefore am opposed to the bill. Please support the amendment and vote the bill down. Thank you.
Chairman Anderson, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, with all these ballots have to go to a vote, regardless who brings them. But where you have small municipalities, small county populations, the bigger cities can run right over the top if there isn't a check and a balance there without due consideration. And so I think if you go through the municipalities to the counties and then put it on the ballot and then you vote on it, that's the fair way to do it. And I think the special purpose tax can very well get out of hand if we don't keep it the way it is right now. So I'd urge you to vote no. And with that, I'll withdraw the amendment.
Thank you. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 115 has been withdrawn. House Bill 115, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. No. Bagby. Aye. Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Flickrey.
No.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson. Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery excused. Goggles.
No.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
No.
Kimball.
Aye.
Landon. Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlek.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne. Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lockhart, aye to no. Gilmore, aye to no. Throne, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 33 ayes, 24 noes, 3 excused.
House Bill 115, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 115 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is in recess until 2 p.m. We will have committee announcements. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder again of this luncheon today with Cody Youth for Justice and about the Wyoming's Independent Living Program. Those children who age out of foster care and still need independent living help, there is the luncheon at the Hathaway building, not Herschler. Hathaway basement conference room, 11:30 to 1:30, and lunch is provided. And the presentation will be at 12:30. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet right now upon noon recess. And we'll discuss Senate File 18, Engrossed, Limited Liability Companies Revisions, and Senate File 6, Engrossed, Improvement and Service Districts, if time permits.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet today upon adjournment in room 817 to consider Senate File 23, Engrossed, Unemployment Compensation Amendments, Senate File 24, Community-Based In-Home Services, and Senate File 32, Engrossed, Wyoming Investment in Nursing Extension.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet today, Monday, upon adjournment this evening in room H10, where we will take up Senate File 41, Engrossed, Teacher Shortage Loan Repayment Program, Senate File 42, School Finance Student Enrichment Instruction, and Senate File 46, Engrossed, School Facilities Charter Schools, if time allows.
Any other announcements? The House is in recess until 2 p.m.